Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson that you just heard, but I would like to draw your attention back to verse 10 in reference to the Magi or wise men. It says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Let that image play out in your imagination. Magi, wise men, presumably mature, learned scholars, respectable political advisors, doing the ancient version of a fist pump or a high five, overjoyed at the prospect of seeing a baby. Maybe, as we might say today, geeking out a little bit. Maybe a lot. And it all makes me wonder, when was the last time you rejoiced exceedingly with great joy? Can you remember? The Greek word for great in this verse is a word that you know. Did you know you knew Greek? You do. It's mega. Over the course of your life, what has given you mega joy? Any way you slice it, the account of the wise men is undeniably odd. It's fascinating for that very reason. Magi, probably from modern-day Iran or Iraq, corresponding to Babylon and Persia, are compelled to come visit one born king of the Jews. And they've not just come to visit, they've come to worship. What they knew about Jewish culture and theology is unclear. It was something about that star that had grabbed their attention and caused them to set out on this journey. And there does certainly seem to be astrological meaning to that star, setting up the idea that God worked through means that these non-Jews could understand in order to invite them into worship of the true King. And the fact that it was all really happening, and that the star had signaled to them, and that King Herod took all of this seriously, and it was corroborated by Hebrew Scripture, and that the star guided the way to the precise location, filled them with mega joy. Joy at the prospect of meeting the child who would be king. They had prepared so thoughtfully and hopefully that they even brought gifts, tokens of respect, presented with humility and ecstatic joy. How do you compare to the Magi described in Matthew's Gospel? Meaning, does the thought of worshiping Jesus fill you with mega joy? When I asked you to think of joyful things before, did worshiping Jesus make the list? It's amazing to me that these Magi are so pumped up and excessively joyful about getting to meet the newborn king, because I can think of times that I've been exceedingly joyful at a sporting event or a family milestone or a beautiful location. But about the opportunity to worship Jesus, it's embarrassing to admit it's harder to come up with specific times when mega joy was attached to that. Can you relate, or is it just me? if you can relate, what's going on with us? If we look again at the Magi, we might find an answer. Their stated goal, spoken before none other than King Herod, was to locate and worship the newborn king of the Jews. And they were successful in accomplishing this goal. When the star goes before them and leads them to Jesus, they have mega joy. And they go in, they bow down before the child in a sign of reverence. They give the gifts that they've brought, and then they return home. And here's what I am drawn to, and I hope that you will be drawn to as well. There were no conditions attached to their worship of the child. Do you understand what I mean? Matthew does not say that the joyful wise men arrived and bowed down and presented their gifts and then said, okay, now what are you going to do for us? There is nothing in Matthew's record of this event that captures a wise man saying to Mary, presumably, we've come all this way, at great expense, I might add, and offered these kingly gifts. Now, what can we expect in return? You can look high and low in Matthew's account. It's not there. It was enough for them to be in the presence of Jesus, to elevate him above themselves. That's the point of bowing down and giving him the gifts that they had brought. They believed that there was a greatness about Jesus that deserved to be acknowledged unconditionally. Now, yeah, they were trailblazers for every non-Jewish person. Their journey and worship, a living demonstration that the door was open to all people to come in and worship the King. An immediate fulfillment, by the way, of Simeon's line, saying this child was a light to lighten the Gentiles. But back to our worship and our joy. As I think about the example of the Magi, I am confronted with the question, do I believe that there is a greatness about Jesus that needs to be acknowledged unconditionally? Or do I worship Jesus with conditions? And this gets deeply personal very quickly. It can be complicated, but it can also be clear as day. Could it be that we give Jesus conditional worship? If so, it's no wonder that we lack mega joy when we think about him. If I come to Jesus thinking, I will serve you, Jesus, as long as I get to live a comfortable lifestyle. Or I will honor you, Jesus, as long as my family gets to stay happy and healthy. Or I will honor you, Jesus, with my life, but don't forget everything that I've done for you. If I have that going on in me, then there is no way I will be able to worship Jesus joyfully, because whatever I put after the words, as long as, is what I'm really elevating. Career, success, romance, wealth, whatever you put after as long as, that's what you're bowing before. Conditional worship robs us of joy because it's centered on things we cannot keep. So what's truly mind-boggling about the Magi is that they believed there was a greatness about Jesus that needed to be acknowledged unconditionally, and they knew far less about Jesus than we do. We have the advantage of eyewitness accounts about Jesus reported in the four Gospels, carefully crafted biographies of the king that those wise men worshipped. We have numerous letters written by those who had direct interaction with Jesus. We have a book of Revelation that proclaims Jesus' ultimate victory over Satan and every evil power. We have more knowledge than the Magi. But are we as wise? We can be, if we examine the life of Jesus the King and come to the conclusion that he does indeed possess greatness that needs to be acknowledged without conditions. And you can come to that conclusion when it finally breaks through to you who Jesus is and what he did. In obedience to his Father, and for the joy of obtaining you, he lived a life under the law. He fulfilled that law perfectly, then offered that life, that unblemished life, as a sacrifice, paying the penalty for the sins of all people, for all time, on the cross. You see, sin, as much as people roll their eyes at that these days, sin is a problem we cannot solve, period. Left unchecked, it destroys us, it drives us from God, it leads us into despair and ultimately into physical and spiritual death, which is hell. We have no solution for that. So Jesus created one with his perfect life, with his innocent death on the cross, and his rising again to glorious new life. And the great miracle of Jesus is that sin's solution, this absolution, this forgiveness of sins, new and eternal life, starting today, is all yours. By faith, by believing Jesus did it all for you, that he credited your account with all these things that I'm describing. It's all there. You can check anytime. And what's more, you don't have to re-earn it. Not that you could. You don't have to add anything to it. It's already all there for you. Without us even asking, Jesus did it. In your heart of hearts, do you say, yes, yes, I want that. I believe Jesus did that for me, that it counts for me, that it covers me. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? If you do, then you are acknowledging that Jesus has a greatness that deserves to be acknowledged without condition. To believe this amazing news is to elevate the King in your heart, to bow before him willingly, gladly, saying, I'm not the King. Jesus, you are. You alone. To believe this is to offer him whatever gift of thanks that you have to give. He'll accept that. And to believe this news is to have exceedingly great mega joy, because what Jesus has to give, you get to keep forever. Let's pray. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, and when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. Amen.